This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
Hey, stay sharp.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 12 o'clock at 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sharpley is here. Sean is taking the day off. I'm Darren Pritchett, filling in for Sean Steyers. Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. My first opportunity for hosting the Leprechaun Lunch with Mr. Sharpley. We had a show back a couple of years ago. We talked some Notre Dame football, but looking forward to speaking with you today, my friend. How are you?
Is Sean working on his tan right now? Is that what's going on?
Say that one more time. You know, that's probably a distinct possibility.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm tired of the snow, though. I want that to go away.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, mentally fatigued. Like a little bit over a week ago, it was 60 degrees. I was outside working out. And now we got this stuff again.
Now you just have to pump the iron inside, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like February and March, they just can't figure out what they want to do.
I'm sure people over at Sharpley Training are ready to get outside.
Oh, they are ready. We go to the dunes during the summer, too.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. You're more than welcome to come with us. You're already tired?
I'm already getting tired, just the thought. You know what? You just need to toughen me up.
Okay.
You've made many offers to me. One of these days, I need to get it done.
Well, Sean and I have been talking about having the show over at the gym.
It'd be great.
And doing a little workout. You know, breaking Sean in a little bit over there and then doing the show, or vice versa. Maybe we'd have to do the show first and then work out. Or we can work out while we do the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would really show, like, our talents would really come through on that.
Mm-hmm. One person's would. Everybody else.
Off-season training. We got to get you ready for this summer here, Darren.
I'm ready to swing the baseball bat.
Yeah.
I've done a little swinging, so can I do that?
I actually just got done with a couple of hitting lessons already this morning. St. Joe High School doesn't have school today, so we had a couple of kids already in.
Very nice.
Yeah, records day. Baseball tryouts for high school start next week. Baseball and softball. I think in Indiana, softball tryouts already occurred. In Michigan,
they're
next week, too.
It's amazing. Well, I need to work on my launch angle.
Yeah. That'll depend on if you're swinging hard enough.
Yeah, I think I've lost some RPM through the years.
Yeah, if you're not swinging hard enough, we'll want to keep the launch angle a little bit lower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because if it's too high, then you're just hitting lazy fly balls, and we don't want that.
No, we want bullets.
That's right.
Laser, bullets in the gap,
laser
baby.
Laser line drives.
That's what I was in high school.
Stand-up doubles and home runs.
And some triples. For me, that was like...
You know, if I got the stand-up double, why would I want to run a little bit further when I'm already in scoring position?
Because there's nothing like that thrill of a head-first dive into third base.
Well, the thrill is nice, but the stand-up double and the home run are my two favorite.
All right. You're growing on me a little bit. Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training, also brought to you by Zollman's Tire and Auto Care, trusted community service for over 40 years, by Lechleitner Door. When you need same-day service, Lechleitner Door delivers. Call 295-6311 by the Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Together, we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. By the Trattoria at McCree's, create your own or try a signature creation like the chicken bruschetta pizza. Also, we're brought to you by Kurt Outdoor Living. Make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the experts at Kurt Outdoor Living, and by the WSBT Business Brief, which is brought to you by Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing. Contact Matt Wilson in South Bend or Pablo Rodriguez in Granger. So what is on the list of us? What are we going to chat about today? Well, we're going to start with Notre Dame basketball. Zach Hillsland, former Irish basketball player, radio analyst on the Notre Dame Basketball Network, will join us from Brooklyn. The Irish haven't left yet after losing last night to Duke. What are his thoughts on Notre Dame's tournament chances? We'll hear from Zach in about 10 minutes. Then we'll get into some Notre Dame football conversation. The Irish, with two spring practices already, Brandon Wimbush and Ian Book, of course, working out at the quarterback position. We'll talk to our resident quarterback expert about that interesting competition coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk a little Notre Dame defense, and at the end of the hour, we'll wrap things up with some Notre Dame hockey conversation. The Irish are in the Big Ten Tournament semifinal against Penn State at the Compton Family Ice Arena, and that'll be tomorrow night at 5:30. You can hear the game on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. But we begin with college basketball conversation. Evan, Notre Dame with the miraculous come-from-behind victory two nights ago to beat Virginia Tech, 21 down with 15 minutes to go. They posted a remarkable come-from-behind victory, keeping their NCAA tournament hopes alive. Now, I'm not an expert in all this analytical stuff, but I remember after Notre Dame rallied to beat Virginia Tech, the ESPN BPI, the index they have, said that Notre Dame's chances of making the NCAA tournament were 72%. Going into the Duke game, I'm like, well, that's pretty good.
Not bad.
So then during the game last night, above the scoreboard, where from time to time they'll just put little tidbits, it said, if Notre Dame beats Duke, their chances of making the tournament are 100%.
100%.
If they lose, it's 37%. So all of a sudden you go from 72% to 37% losing to a top 10 team. So I'm a little confused where we actually stand right now. I'm going to be talking to Seth Greenberg.
Who makes these numbers up? Do we know
someone
that?
Someone in their basement that's chewing on Ritz crackers as they're putting all these numbers into their computer. Now, Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst, is going to be on Sports Beat tonight. We'll get his opinion on all this. But it's really rather complicated right now. So let me read this to you. You're a human, so let me just throw these numbers at you.
Before you say this, do you want my percentage?
Well, after I give this.
Okay, we'll wait till
let
after.
Let me set it up.
Okay, perfect.
Let me set this up.
Okay.
So this is according to a service that breaks down all the numbers on all the teams. Now, apparently RPI does not matter to the committee. Just for sake of argument, the RPI of Notre Dame is 64. So normally if you're inside the top 40, you're always in, more times than not. Sometimes some small schools don't make it. So 64 is a high number. Strength of schedule, 54. That works. So here are the numbers that could really hurt the Irish. Against the RPI top 25, they're 1-7.
Not good.
Against the top 50, they're 3-8.
Not good.
Against the top 100, they're 8-10.
Yeah, still not good.
And against the top 150, they're only 8-12. Now, we have to factor in they did not have Bonzi Colson for 15 games. Matt Farrell missed a handful of basketball games. So when the Irish were fully healthy, they lost at home to Ball State, who got eliminated from the MAC tournament in an upset. Indiana, their RPI is around 118 right now. The Irish lost to them on a neutral floor when they were fully healthy. And I made this argument last night, Evan, that if you look at the second half of the Pittsburgh game and the first half of the Virginia Tech game, that did not look like a top 20 team like Mike Bray has talked about when he's fully healthy. Now, they played great in the second half against Virginia Tech. They were off and on okay last night against Duke. So put all that into your pot.
Okay.
Stir it up. And tell me what you think.
Here we go. I'm typing it down.
Okay.
I've got the calculator.
Do you have your Ritz crackers?
Do. I am at 3%.
Really? You don't like their chances?
I don't like their chances. I think it's really going to come down to, and this is what Sean and I have talked about over the last few weeks. First off, what I was concerned about was how much Bonzi Colson was going to play, and I've actually been surprised at his production and how much he has played. Does the committee, they're obviously going to take into consideration him not playing, Farrell not being a part of it, also losing Harvey too. I mean, they've lost quite a bit, they didn't have the full piece the whole year. You saw what they did early on, and certainly when you have a potential player of the year candidate, and that's what Bonzi Colson was before the season started. He was on that list as a finalist for player of the year. That's going to turn some heads. So now that he's back, how does the committee view this team? I think that they make it intriguing and interesting, and it's not going to be an easy no. For the committee, and I don't really think I would want to be on, when you're looking at it like this, it's not simple wins and losses now. you're saying, well, what if? And that's a tricky game to play. What if they had, you know, X, Y, and Z playing the entire year? That's a tricky way to go when you're trying to pick these teams, because then you could be eliminating a team that, you know, had guys the entire year and you know, played more consistent. Because what you saw from Notre Dame this year was it was a lot of up and down. You had guys mm-hmm. that probably were playing that, you know, maybe necessarily weren't going to play at this time. Guys that were put into roles that, you know, maybe a year away. So I don't know. That's it has me intrigued. I'm for whatever reason, I'm on that lower list as far as the percentages go. They still might get in. They still might, but I'm leaning towards the no right now.
Let me go to a soundbite. Now, this was before they played Duke last night. So this was the latest information of Notre Dame following the win over Virginia Tech. And Golic and Wingo, Thursday morning, talked to Mr. Bracketology on ESPN, Joe Lenardi, and to get his thoughts on where Notre Dame stands. Now, obviously, Golic is a Notre Dame alum, and he's a little biased in these proceedings. So here was their conversation. Again, this was before Notre Dame lost to Duke last night.
Joe, come on, man. With Bonzi Colson back, what are they now? 13-4, 14-4, one of the top 15 teams, maybe in the country, 20 teams. Are you saying they have to beat Duke to get in, or a good showing can get them in?
I think a good showing can get them in. If I were in the room, I'd have them in already under the simple common sense logic that, as you said, this is at worst a top 20 team, maybe close to a top 10 team with Bonzi. And I go back to how they were evaluated with Bonzi prior to his injury. And at one point, coming out of Maui and into pre-conference, they got as high as a 2 seed. I don't know how you can evaluate them as a non-tournament team with this roster. I just have to factor in what I believe the committee will do relative to all of the other moving parts in all of the other leagues.
So that was Joe Lenardi of ESPN.
So you're looking back to the beginning of the year. That Maui was the opening tournament, yes?
Very early in the season.
So you could say that there could be some top teams that maybe didn't play well early on, and you're like, well, are we gonna take that into consideration too?
Now, see, it's interesting because teams like Arizona State and Oklahoma played extremely well before January 1st.
And have really fallen off.
They have fallen off, and there's a lot of conversation about them. They shouldn't be in because they did not finish the season strong. And according to a lot of these bracketologists, both are out as of right now. So how you finish apparently is something the committee looks at. So Notre Dame has that feather in their cap. They played extremely well in the Maui Classic, and they beat a very, very good Wichita State team. They have those two warts, the Indiana and Ball State losses, with a healthy squad. I mean, those are the two things that really you could argue are holding them back. I'm just wondering, if it is about how you finish, did Notre Dame play well enough? Did the eyeball test pass with the way they played against Pittsburgh, winning by 3? They had to storm back to beat Virginia Tech. And last night, defensively, it was a rough night. Now, 3 games in 3 days was a factor, but Notre Dame did not want Duke to shoot threes. So what happened with all their height, they shot 28 of 48 from inside the three-point line. That's 56% from the field. Duke won 88-70. So Lenardi said the showing of the team will factor in. So I'm not sure how you evaluate the showing of Notre Dame last night. There's a lot of good and bad.
Loss.
So
it's still an 18-point loss, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's complicated. This is one of the more complicated cases. And, Evan, I'll guarantee you, if Notre Dame gets in, teams that do not make it around the bubble are going to be very upset because the analytics show a lot of negatives. Right. But the eyeball test may put Notre Dame over the top. If they get in, they could be in the Sweet 16 very easily. They're good enough to do that. But I don't think the committee can look at it in that fashion.
Yes, I don't know if they can pull the trigger. I don't.
All right, so let's go back to last night. Notre Dame lost to Duke 88-70, and here were some of the post game comments of Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray.
How did you feel at halftime? 41-37.
I told our guys we're in a lot better position than we were the night before. You know, I mean, we were laughing Like, this is, we're in great position. Even at the 15-minute mark when we made our run, we kind of made a reference. But it's a different animal out there tonight when they're in an offensive rhythm like that. And, you know, you're darn if you do, darn if you don't. You know, they made all these threes early. We didn't want to help in the post because we thought we could maybe absorb twos. But then Bagley was just, you know, unbelievable.
Back of the room.
Tom Marion with AP Radio. Bonzi, what was it like playing against Bagley tonight?
Yeah, you know, since I've been here, he's one of the toughest players to ever go against. He's really explosive, and, you know, he has a really quick first step. So a lot of respect to him and how he played. You know, he deserved all the honors that he got this year. He's a heck of a player. I respect him a lot.
You're right. Mike, you said, you know, your team's just getting healthy for the first time. They've played a few games together now. What did you guys get out of this tournament, having your starting lineup together for the
first time? I love seeing this group play together for three games, you know, and really four games when you add Virginia, where he played, you know, his 33 to 35 minutes. So, you know, we're excited about what the next challenge is in postseason, whatever it may be, because we're feeling a little better about ourselves physically.
That was some of the comments of Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray last night, along with the players, as the Irish fell to Duke 88-70. Notre Dame is 20-14. Again, in the committee's eyes, they're only 19-14. They lose a victory because they beat Chaminade, a non-Division I team over in Maui. But this team does look different, obviously, with Bonzi Colson in the lineup. Joining Evan and I now for a conversation on Notre Dame basketball is a former Fighting Irish basketball player. I believe you, Evan, and Zach Hilslam are in the same grade at Notre Dame. And now you hear him on the Notre Dame Basketball Network, heard on WSBT Radio. Zach Hilslam joins us here on WSBT Radio. Zach, it's Darren. How are you today?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Greatly appreciate your time as you get set to leave Brooklyn after a very interesting ACC tournament. Zach, let's just get your impressions right off the bat. Where do you think the Irish stand right now in terms of the NCAA tournament? Are you a confident alum at this time?
You know what? I'm never confident when it comes to whether or not people can kind of screw you over a bit, and not that this would be a situation that's like that, because we're firmly on the bubble. I understand the case. There's, you know, lots of injuries that we've dealt with. The 7-game losing streak in the middle of this season really sticks out. And then you're looking at some of the teams that you're up against on the bubble. Certainly Louisville stands out as, if, you know, if we would have won that game in South Bend, then you really have a case to get over them. It's tough. It kind of felt like they kept moving the target a little bit as well. Like before the, it's like you lose to Virginia at Virginia, and all of a sudden you're back in the conversation, and then you beat Pitt, and then you're a little bit further back, which was strange. And then, you know, people kept saying, like, you win two in Brooklyn, you get to 20 wins, you're probably in. But then it just kept seeming like they were changing the narrative every time you woke up the next day, and kept saying that Notre Dame had more work to do. So certainly was a very difficult task playing Duke, you know, 4 games in 6 days against a Duke team that had 4 full days of rest and 35 NBA players on their team. So it was a tough grind. But, you know, Notre Dame's got some really great players, and I think if you're a college basketball fan, you'd be crazy to not want to have Bonzi, Colson, Matt Farrell, and even Marty Gebben in that tournament. Just three great kids, three great stories, and you know, really kind of sums up what college basketball is all about. I know we get really obsessed with all these one-and-done prospects and all that stuff, but these guys have really defined what it means to be a student-athlete, and I think it would be unfortunate if they didn't get into the tournament.
Zach, Evan Sharpley here. You know, obviously the best-case scenario is Notre Dame makes the tournament, but let's talk maybe worst-case scenario or, you know, a plan B and what would happen and looking towards the future. You know, what would it look like for this team, you know, the adversity that they've gone through this year, some guys that have stepped up into some roles maybe that they hadn't planned on this year, and then look towards, you know, what that would mean, you know, for next season with all the experience potentially being coming back. Obviously, some guys and some holes that they're going to have to replace. But what does the future look like, regardless of what happens here, if they make the tournament or if it ends up being, say, an NIT bid?
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, if they're going to make the NIT, those guys are going to go out, compete, and be happy for the opportunity. I know that. It's like, you know, Bonzi misses so many games, and certainly that was the worst for him. He wants to play, but it hurt the fans as well. I'm sure it hurt Matt Farrell wanting to play with one of his best friends. So those guys will definitely relish in the opportunity to play in whatever tournament. I think it's kind of cool what the NIT is doing this year as well, with going to, like, they're playing four quarters like everybody else in the basketball universe does, and trying some other things. So that'll be fun. As far as, like, the other guys that were able to step in and get big minutes, you certainly look to a guy like John Mooney, who really, really blossomed this year. Was a great threat from three-point range. Has shown that he can finish at the rim a little bit, too. Towards the end, he was starting to add a little bit of dribble drive as well. If he can figure out how to knock down his free throws, I think that'll be really huge, just like to improve his confidence in his entire game. And I even like what Nick Jogo provided as well. Like, that kid is really, really athletic. He didn't quite find his range yet, but we've seen him shoot in practice. We've seen him shoot in warm-ups. Like, the kid has a stroke. He showed that he could rebound a bit against some upper-level competition as well. So it'll be interesting. And next year, certainly, you're losing such a core group of seniors, but you're bringing in a bunch of freshmen as well, the largest class, maybe the most heralded class that Coach Bray has had. So you're really – it's going to be a good turnover season where you get some fresh bodies in there, some fresh energy. And it'll be kind of one of those things where there really aren't any expectations, and you can kind of start building the program again. Or not building the program again, but, you know, starting over with this new squad, new team, and figure out what kind of tools you have. So it's a very exciting time for Notre Dame basketball.
Sean and Sharpley Show, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT. Evan Sharpley, I'm Darren Pritchett, sitting in for Sean Sire. Zach Hillisland, former Irish basketball player, now member of the Notre Dame Basketball Radio Network, joining us on this Friday afternoon. As you look back over the last couple of months, Zach, what did Mike Bray do in order to keep this team alive for a chance to even get into the NCAA tournament? Because after Mike said, after the front nine, things were not looking very good.
Well, I love that you mentioned the front nine thing as well, because he does such a good job of framing the picture for his kids that you can kind of keep your mind in it. And he's done a great job of recruiting good kids in the first place that buy into the program, that take ownership of the program. And you've got these seniors that, you know, like, I don't know if I've ever seen a tougher Notre Dame player than Matt Farrell. Like, I don't even want to make eye contact with him. He scares me to death. But, you know, just he brings these guys in who really know how to lead and keep their heads up. And, you know, not many teams are going to take a 7-game losing streak and still keep their heads up and remain positive. I know I was on one of those teams my senior year, and it was very difficult, you know, especially when you're fighting against the expectations of being a top 20, top 10 team at times. So it's just a testament to the way he manages players and the types of players he brings in the first place.
You know, a lot of the bracketologists, Zach, over the last 48 hours have talked a lot about Notre Dame. It's a unique case with Bonzi Colson. And we just played a soundbite from Joe Lenardi of ESPN right before you came on the show. And one of the things he mentioned before the Duke game was he felt like Notre Dame should be in by common sense. And I think we all agree with that. Now, there's some analytics that a lot of other teams would point to. Notre Dame is 8-12 against the top 150, 1-7 against the top 25, on and on we go. But one thing Joe said before the Duke game, he felt like as long as Notre Dame had a good showing against Duke, he feels like they deserve to be in. Now, I don't want you to put yourself in the committee seat, but if you heard someone say, well, Notre Dame needs to have a good showing against Duke, do you think they accomplished that last night?
I actually think they did accomplish that last night. I know it was kind of a tale of two halves, but the first half was absolutely great. And, you know, you miss a couple free throws as well. If you make four free throws, you're tied up at halftime with possibly the most talented team in the country. And you really showed that you could battle with those guys. And, I mean, there were some of the rebounds that Duke was grabbing last night were absolutely insane. They were at the top of the backboard, for God's sake. So to see our guys go out and battle and kind of go toe-to-toe with those guys for the first half was great. And, you know, the second half got a little sloppy. There were some turnovers there in that first segment that really gave Duke some space. But honestly, to even compete with them like that on no rest and just absolutely depleted tanks was really impressive to me. And hopefully the committee sees that and understands that. And like you said, I think with this team, you have to throw out all those advanced metrics and stats. Like, I don't care. Those don't make any damn sense when you're talking about a team that's been, you know, hindered and hampered all year with injuries. Bonzi missed 15 games. Like, you have to throw those out the window and just take a look at this team and say, do we want them in the field? Are they one of the best 68 teams in the country? Absolutely. I think they should be in. And I think it'd be crazy not to want them in, even if you hate Notre Dame. I think it's a draw either way. You know, like, people are going to want to watch that game. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, it will certainly be an interesting day or two coming up here.
Zach, let's say the committee does look past those numbers, okay? They see, you know, what this team could be. They're in the tournament. Where do you see this team going? You think that they're able to make a run? Are they that dangerous at this point? Obviously, they're going to have a little bit of rest leading up to the tournament starting. If you're on full rest, you have Colson back, you have Farrell healthy, what do you think they can do in this tournament?
I mean, it's always going to come down to matchups and what team you draw and kind of where you're placed in the brackets and all that noise. But, you know, with the when those guys are rested and healthy, especially a guy like Matt Farrell, like he relies so much on his, I would say, elite-level burst and quickness that when he's really feeling good, the entire game has changed. Last night, you know, he's going on 3 consecutive days, and the way that Duke was really pushing up that zone, he had to take all of his jumpers from about 22, 23 feet and beyond and just didn't quite have the legs there. So when that guy's rested, they're a threat to beat anyone in the country, really. But we'll see. I hope they get in because I do think they can play with anyone when they're healthy and rested.
Well, as a big guy yourself, your impressions of the way Martinez Gebben has turned into such an amazing post player this year for the Fighting Irish?
I'm so glad you brought that up. He is honestly, and I haven't told him this yet because I don't want him to get too big of a head, but he might be my favorite Notre Dame player in person in my memory. He's such a good kid. He's worked so hard to make himself the player that he is. One of the best big men free throw shooters I've ever seen. And he just brings this great tenacity blended with this like really soft touch around the rim. And I only think he's going to get better, honestly. I think he still has tremendous upside. You know, continue to transform his body, continue to add a little bit of range to that jump shot. But I would certainly be interested in bringing Martin Gebben on my professional team if I was in charge, you know.
I'd like to be his agent because he's going to make a ton of money overseas. And what people don't know, when we stand around in media sessions before Coach Bray or the players are talking to us, Gebben drains, I'm not lying, 6 out of 10 three-point shots. And that's not something we've seen in games.
Absolutely not. You know, there's sometimes you can have too many cooks in the kitchen if everyone's looking for the three-point shot. But, you know, I certainly think that's something that he could add to his repertoire. He hit one this season, I think. It was late clock situation. Mm-hmm. Might have gone off the glass. But either way, like the kid is very, very skilled. He's very smart. And you know you're never going to have an issue with him. Like he's figured it out at a very young age. So I would imagine him, you know, barring any sort of like injury or, you know, other sort of situation, having a very long professional career, and I can't wait to follow him.
He's got range like you, then, is what you're saying, right?
Well, he might have a little bit more range than I did. My range pretty much extended in practice. As soon as the lights went on, I got the yips.
Well, I guess since we're talking about lists, and Gebben could be your favorite all-time Notre Dame basketball player, is it fair to say, Zach, that Evan Sharpley is in your top 5 favorite quarterbacks?
Without a doubt. You know, just a great kid, class of 09, best class we've ever had. nothing more you need to say about that, you know?
Now, we don't want to embarrass him.
Of course.
Evan's speechless over there. He's not going to say a word. Well, hey, Zach, great job, by the way, in the broadcast booth. You do a terrific job breaking down these games, and you and Jack have put together a great broadcast. We've enjoyed listening to them here on WSBT Radio, and I really hope that you have a chance to call a game, well, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday in Dayton, and maybe, who knows, you'll just have a game on Thursday or Friday. But this group, I really feel like, deserves to be in the tournament, and there's just a part of me, Zach, that even though Bonzi and Matt just want to play, but considering what this senior class has accomplished, Elite Eights and winning a Maui Classic, winning an ACC championship, I'd hate for their careers to end in the NIT. There's just something about not ending it that way. It just feels like they deserve better. You know what I mean?
I completely understand what you mean. I finished my career in the NIT, and I can tell you intentionally erased all of those memories from my mind because I didn't want that to be my lasting image of playing for Notre Dame. And certainly these guys will probably be more mature than I am in that department. But we'll see. I hope they get in. I think they'd be silly not to include them because they could certainly make some noise.
Zach, thanks for doing this. We greatly appreciate it. Great job this year with the microphone, and we look forward to talking to you down the line.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Zach Hillisland, former Irish basketball player, now member of the Notre Dame Radio Network, heard on 96.1 WSBT. It's going to be a long Sunday. It's going to be miserable. And here's the thing. I was listening to one of the analysts today. There are 9 conference tournaments coming up with possibilities of bid stealers that could win that automatic berth. Now, not all those are going to happen, but I'll guarantee you there's probably going to be three. And where the bracketologists have Notre Dame right now at around number 70, that could push them back a couple of spots. So it's...
Don't you just wish that they had 64 teams for the college football playoff, too?
Well, we'd be playing for a long time. We'll just play one quarter.
Yeah.
We'll put 15 minutes on the clock. We'll put the ball to 35 Perfect. And see what happens. Quarterback's delight. But it's going to be a tough few days for those players and coaches. We know they're one of the best 68 teams. It's just how the committee analyzes. And there isn't another team to look at through the years that lost at All-American for 15 games, got him back right before the tournament.
Unique situation.
This is unique. There's nothing to fall back on, so we have no idea what's going to happen.
And that's probably why I'm leaning more towards no. I'm not going to be surprised if they get in.
Either way, actually. Yeah.
But I think just based on, if you're looking closely at those numbers, what precedent as a committee do you want to send? I guess is what. You know that what you're going to have to answer within that room on how you view injuries, how you view starting the season and then finishing the season too. So, and that's the case with a couple other teams too on how teams finished. And we brought that up already, but you know this is obviously more unique than those.
Evan Sharpley, I'm Darren Pritchett sitting in for Sean Steyers. Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training. Our thanks to Zach Hillisland for joining us as he offered his thoughts on this Notre Dame basketball team. We're going to switch gears to spring football practice. Already 2 practices in the books, and we will talk to our quarterback about Brandon Wimbush. Ian Book will get into the Irish defense. Still more to come on Leprechaun Lunch. Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on the Sports Leader 96.1. WSBT. WSBT 12:35 on this Friday afternoon. We welcome you back to Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT, the Sports Leader. He is former Irish quarterback Evan Sharpley. Sean Steyers off today. I'm Darren Pritchett filling in. More Irish basketball talk coming up at 5 o'clock on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Once again, Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst, will join us to offer his perspective on this bubblicious team known as the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Spring football practice got underway this week. 2 practices already behind this Fighting Irish football team. And Brian Kelly met the media after the first practice. We did not hear from coaches and players after the second practice on Thursday. But on Tuesday, Brian Kelly was asked about some of the highlights of the first day of practice. He talked about the defense, and the second part of things that caught his attention was at the quarterback position. Here's what Brian Kelly had to say on Tuesday.
Offensively, the quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, you know, you could see a big difference in his footwork, throwing the football with the kind of assertiveness that you want to see.
So 2 things there, footwork and assertiveness. Let's start with footwork. As someone who works with quarterbacks and who was in Brandon Wimbush's shoes, how would you evaluate his footwork last year? And was that, I guess, a foundation of some of the problems of throwing the football?
Yeah, I mean, there were times where when he was in rhythm, he threw the ball very well. When his platform was not consistent, when his lower half was not working for him, that created some issues up top. I addressed and I talked to him following the season, and he admitted to not feeling comfortable for the majority of the year throwing the football. And you could tell, when he was not... Even when he was not under duress, there were times where it looked like he just was not in a good position. And at times, if you rip the front foot, the stride foot a little bit too far to the left, because you're taught the technique is to step left of center with the front foot to clear space for your back hip. But what can happen occasionally is if you rip it and almost pull it backwards, then you can create early release. And when he missed last year, he missed high. And so that what that was doing is it was cueing the arm to throw the ball before he was finishing. You know, it's one of those things that in game, it's hard to tweak, and during the season, and I brought this up with Sean last year. I mean, there's not time in practice spent on mechanics. You know, once the season starts, and even right now, even in spring, there aren't periods in practice designed to say, let's make you better at throwing the football. It's we have reps to get. We have plays to run.
On to the next game.
Yeah. I mean, the period's over. All right, sorry about it. And, you know, I was kind of joking with Sean. You know, it's not like they have a camera out there and they're doing slow motion video analysis on how to break down the throw and make sure you're doing it the right way. You're expected by the time you get to college that your mechanics should be pretty clean. If you're going to fix them and do things, you are going to either be doing that on your own or you're going to be seeking out help from someone else. And that's just the nature of college football. I don't know if it's good, bad, or otherwise, you know, for a program, but when you're only allowed certain number of hours, unless you're creating the optional mandatory workouts, you're going to have to get that done, say, you know, during weight room time with a strength coach. And those strength coaches aren't always necessarily, experts on how mm-hmm. to throw football.
He also mentioned assertiveness. Now, last year, I'm not a quarterback, so I'll make my statement, then you can rip it apart if you'd like.
I think you're going to be correct on this.
Okay. Well, to me, when Ian Book played, he pulled the trigger.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean he always made the right decision.
Correct.
There were some interception issues, but he saw it, he pulled the trigger, and the result was the result.
Yes.
Brandon Wimbush seemed more tentative. There were crossing routes that I saw to EQ several times where he was wide open and it just appeared he waited too long. Then he rushed the throw and then the throw ended up, as you have described, high more times than not. So if those statements are fair, how do you go about getting a player at that stressful position of quarterback to see it and believe in what he's seeing?
Well, a lot of it has to do with comfortability in the offense. I don't know what those discussions were like last season, but certainly, you know, the discussion needs to be with the quarterback on a weekly basis is where do you feel most comfortable? What routes do you feel most comfortable with? You know, what concepts are going to, you know, result in you making faster decisions, more decisive moves. But I 100% agree with you. It was, you know, you almost expected a guy who is coming in a backup role to be a little more hesitant. Yeah. But really, and you know, you have to give a lot of kudos to Ian Book to come in. I mean, he let it all hang out. And really, when I played, that was my mentality as the backup too. You don't have a lot to lose when you're
true.
The number two guy when you go out there. He didn't have that hazy look in his eyes, and you know, he made quick decisions. And that's something I'm sure was addressed in the offseason with Brandon and saying, you know, you have to speed up what's happening. It's and how I explain it to the guys that I coach is you're in a rush, but you're not really in a hurry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you have to make fast decisions, but it's not you then, you know, off your platform. It's not you out of technique or wrong positioning. You're making fast decisions, but then you're trusting, you know, what your technique was. And I think, you know, how the season started, it didn't start the way Brandon really thought it was going to. And honestly, I look to the Georgia game as kind of a, it sped up his clock too to leave the pocket. You know, he was getting pressured. Their lateral speed was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think they saw that, at least to that extent, for four quarters the rest of the season. But what it likely did for him was, I need to not be in the pocket as long, or I'm going to get off of, you know, I'm going to hang on this read a little bit longer, and then I'm probably going to throw the ball away. And we brought this up on our show last week, was almost 20% of his incompletions were uncatchable. So that either means that's one of two things. That's either a throwaway, which he was pretty conservative in that regard because his interceptions really were low, but also then missing on those high passes. So it was a combination of both. So, you know, moving into the spring now, And again, like I said, it's not going to come down to technique. So if it's not technique, then it is. It is, hey, you have to be, they use the word assertive, or Coach Kelly used the word assertive. That's what it's going to have to come down to, or tempo, or a sense of urgency. You know, I'm sure that those words are regurgitated on a daily basis. Yeah.
Shot and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT. Evan Sharpley, Darren Pritchett with you on this Friday afternoon, talking Notre Dame spring football practice live on the Sports Leader. So Brian Kelly was asked on Monday before the first practice, is there a quarterback order going into spring practice? Brandon Wimbush, the starter last year, 50% passer at best. That's not going to get it done. You've got to be much better than that to help this team to get to the playoff. Ian Book, of course, the backup, who started against Carolina and played okay and then helped the Irish figure out a way to beat LSU in the bowl game. So those are the contenders, and here's Brian Kelly's answer.
Sure. Well, you know, you've got to put somebody out there first. And by virtue of a lot of the really good things that Brandon did last year, he'll go out with the first group. But we all know that Ian was integral in our last win against LSU, and he deserves an opportunity to compete as well. So I think what we'll do is we'll foster an environment where our players truly know they have an opportunity to compete for starting positions. So I wouldn't use words like, he's the presumptive starter, but yet he's going to be going out with the first group. But Brandon knows that he's got to work on, his skill set as well. I think that's kind of what we'll try to foster in the environment relative to competition.
All right, so you're a former quarterback. Transcribe what Brian Kelly was saying there.
Here we are again. This happens all the time.
Uh-oh. Lay it on me.
I mean, I get it, and I think that's how it should be. I expected a 50-50 split in reps. And yeah, you have to run someone out there first. Why wouldn't it be the guy who broke records last year as the starting quarterback?
30 touchdowns? It's hard not to put him first.
I think you shouldn't be presumptive and say, here's our starting quarterback, but that does open up another book or can of worms.
Book, I like that.
I didn't even mean to do that. That was great. You know, how long then do you let that last? Because in my mind,
you've lived it. So
yes, name a starter out of the spring, but you know it's not going to happen, Darren. It's not going to happen. We might not know until the week of.
It's about competition.
We might have multiple starters throughout the season come this fall. I don't like it, but you know it's going to happen. What does history tell us? And Kelly's dealing with quarterbacks.
There's a lot of things unknown going into the month of August,
and I don't like it. Now nobody cares what we think or what we like.
Well, you're the quarterback, so people are listening to you.
But here is where if the roles are set and defined behind closed doors. Right now, over the summer, in the fall, if those roles are set and defined and they are known by the team and then they are grasped and everyone can rally around that, that's a good thing. But if everyone's in the dark, that's not good.
Well, and you know, fans, everybody loves the new toy.
Yeah.
And Phil Jurkovec
is not playing. He's not playing.
Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
He's coming in from Pennsylvania. He's got all these great stats from high school. And he's Mr. Football in Pennsylvania. Here's my point. I agree with you, basically. But here's the but.
Okay.
If neither of these guys take hold of this situation, and we get into September, games are being played, and the quarterback position is still very uncertain.
What's their record?
Well, you can't afford to lose more than one game in September. You know what? I don't know if they can afford to lose any games in September knowing what's coming up in November.
No doubt.
They need a cushion. They need that safety net going into November. I'm just saying if they lose a game along the way and the quarterback position is still very uneven, all I'm saying is, Evan, it opens the door for Phil. I don't think the door gets opened by Phil Jurkovec. I think those two open the door for him.
I think two losses and he plays.
I could see that.
I think if both guys are struggling and they're still undefeated or one loss, I don't think we see him.
I guess my point is, Evan, Phil can't win this job. He needs help.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. These two have to hand it to him.
Yes.
I don't want people to think he's coming in and if there's struggles in August, put him in there. That's just very difficult. If he's here in the spring, at least we can have a conversation. But without that spring, that's...
Had to early enroll, for sure. And that, you know, it's easier at other positions. The quarterback position is different. It is hard to come in and start as a freshman because, and you have a lot of these guys that started as freshmen, but they're really redshirt freshmen. So you have guys that are either redshirted or, whatever it is they took, they early enrolled. So there's experience there on their side. This is not the case. It's hard to come in, learn a playbook, and also then own the huddle too. You have a lot of, you are... It's difficult.
And let's don't forget, he's still trying to get comfortable being away from home, going to school.
Yeah.
That's beyond all the football
stuff. A lot of new things.
A lot of new things. Evan Sharpley, Darren Pritchett with you. Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on WSBT. It's already 1249. I feel like we just started.
This one goes fast.
We're going to have to eliminate some topics. We're going to have to narrow it down. We'll mix in
rapid fire.
We'll do rapid fire. We'll mix in just a very, very short Notre Dame hockey segment, and we'll start to wind things down on this installment of Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT. Along with Evan Sharpley, I'm Darren Pritchett, sitting in for Sean Stiers. Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT. We have the ACC Tournament semifinals on WSBT Radio later tonight. It all starts at 6:30. Game number one, Virginia versus Clemson, the nightcap, Duke versus North Carolina. All the action on 96.1 WSBT. And we'll have the title game tomorrow night from Brooklyn. So we've talked Irish basketball. We have talked about the quarterback position for spring practice. And we're going to spend just about 2 minutes on another team that has some big expectations over the next few weeks. And that is the Fighting Irish hockey team. And Notre Dame had a 16-game winning streak during the middle of the year, the longest in program history. And since, they have been below 500. So everybody is wondering, well, what does this mean for the postseason? Well, the postseason begins tomorrow night for the Irish. They host the Big Ten Tournament semifinal against the Penn State Nittany Lions, opening faceoff at 5:30. And I'll have the call on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. First things first, Notre Dame is 3-0-1 against Penn State this year. Penn State is 13th in the pairwise, so they're going to make the NCAA tournament, barring just some craziness with some of the other tournaments. 16 teams make the tournament, and it looks like we could have 5 Big Ten teams make the tournament. Now, I remember there were some articles written about how, why would Notre Dame leave Hockey East to go to this Big Ten conference that's bad, only 2 teams made the tournament? And I said, just be patient.
Darren, I loved the move to the Big Ten. I loved it.
It made total sense.
Loved it.
For everybody. Trust me, everybody. We're playing against like teams. Same ages.
And how about that home and home, South Bend, then to Chicago? I liked that one a while back. Was that with Wisconsin, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't like the Friday-Sunday, but if we did Friday-Saturday, me up. We had 3 Friday-Sundays, not a big fan. It changed a lot of things for the players.
And here's what else we need to consider, too. Okay. Could they have a couple of noon starts on Sunday so I can bring my daughter?
I will put in a good word for you.
7 p.m. is a little late for her right now.
I understand that. No, I get that. But Evan, I've been with Irish teams that have played great going into the NCAA tournament. They lose the first game. Mm-hmm. I've seen a team stumbling. They go to the Frozen Four. There's no rhyme or reason. So when people ask, are you worried? I go, no, because I just
players, you know, they're a different breed, Darren.
They let down after winning the Big Ten regular season title with 6 games or 5 games to go. It's just common feeling. Right. I don't think you want to get hurt knowing the postseason's around the corner. So can they flip the switch, though, after being off for around 13 days? That's my big question tomorrow.
How are their beards looking?
I have not seen them.
Well,
I have not seen them since the Michigan State series. So some teams do that. Some teams don't. Minnesota Duluth, the year they beat us in the Frozen Four and won the title, they had all blonde hair.
Blonde hair. Didn't like
don't
that
ask,
one.
Don't ask the announcer to do that. No, sir.
Oh, their announcer did it too? Everyone?
I don't remember, but don't ask this announcer because I'm all for team loyalty, but...
Not that far.
There's a price. Yeah. There's a price.
There we go.
So, hey, by the way, Cale Morris up for Big Ten Player of the Year. He's probably going to win that. I was actually a voter on this. I think he's going to win Big Ten Player of the Year, and he's a semifinalist, one of 10 finalists for the Richter Award given to the nation's top goaltender. Not sure he'll win it, but has a very, very realistic chance. Yeah. So Notre Dame doesn't need to win to get into the NCAA tournament. Right now, they'd be the second overall seed. So they're in really, really good shape, but you just would like to win a game because it's if you don't win, it's going to be almost 3.5 weeks since you won a game.
Right.
And that's concerning to me. Sean and Sharpley presented by Sharpley Training, by Zolman Tire, Auto Care, trusted community service for over 40 years, Lechleitner Door. When you need same-day service, Lechleitner Door delivers. Call 295-6311. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Together, we can solve hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org. The Trattoria at McCree's. Create your own or try a signature creation like the Chicken Bruschetta Pizza. Kurt Outdoor Living. Make plans now to transform your backyard into an oasis with the experts at Kurt Outdoor Living. I enjoyed this.
This was great.
Thanks for letting me sit in.
Thank you.
For Evan Sharpley, I'm Darren Pritchett, Sean and Sharpley, presented by Sharpley Training on 96.1 WSBT.